Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So you may remember back in March, Congress moved really quickly. And I give them credit. We were in the middle of a crisis. We needed the stimulus package to help the economy not completely tank. And they miraculously, and I shouldn't say that, in times of crisis, they do come together. But in this day and age, it seems like miraculously, they came together in a very bipartisan fashion, 96-0 in the Senate, 419-6 in the House. They voted to move a stimulus package forward. And what they did is they made sure everybody got $1,200 a week, or $1,200, I should, wait, what am I, crazy? They got $1,200, and you had Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, who said, hey, that's going to last at least 10 weeks. Not even he believed it would take almost 8 months for us to even to begin to talk about another stimulus package. And we desperately need it, because here at the end of December, a big portion of the extended unemployment goes away. And at the end of September, the money to help the airline industry completely dried up. And on October 1st, a bunch of airline workers were laid off and now struggling, which is why today across the country you had flight attendants and airline workers in Houston and Los Angeles and Chicago and cities across the country out protesting and demanding that Congress act to do something to help their industry and workers across the country. That's why I've asked Amanda Steinbrunn to come talk with us. She's a furloughed United flight attendant. She's also a member of the Association of Flight Attendants, AFA-CWA. Amanda, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for having me.
So your industry, the airline industry, got, you know, really a great package out of this, and I would argue it's because of the leadership of your union. In the stimulus package, they said, look, nobody gets laid off. Everyone stays on the payroll. Everyone gets their health care. And through the end of September, not thinking that Congress would fail again and again and again to do anything. But this was pretty monumental, a workers first kind of package. And now it's sadly dried up. I'm curious your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, you put it correctly. You know, it's a fail after fail after fail. And it was something that kept us connected to our jobs, kept us connected to our healthcare in the middle of this huge pandemic. And we were really told, you know, every single day, it's like whiplash. Oh, we're going to have something for you. We're going to have something for you. And the days started to dwindle down. Come October 1st, all those notices went out to us. I got a letter in the mail saying, you don't have a job anymore. No more income, no more healthcare. You're out in the world on your own in a place that has 17% unemployment going on. So every single day, it's just a letdown. We keep getting told over and over, there's so much support for this and so many people want to vote for it, and yet nothing is getting done.
It's really insane, isn't it? Especially if you go back and you remember those months, and I know you do because you were one of those people who were out on the front lines. You know, we were throwing that hero word around again like we do during times of crisis. You know, all the frontline heroes, the people who went to work every day and exposed themselves and their families to this virus and to illness and to potentially death, only to now be just kind of thrown to the curb seems, well, yeah, I don't know, not what you do to heroes.
Yeah. And, you know, we would never say ourselves are heroes, but at the same time, you know, we were the frontline workers going out, you know, in our cargo holds, we had ventilators, we had masks for hospitals. We were transporting around the Cleveland Clinic to help people in places like New York that was having horrible deaths and surges. And it is just a huge letdown. 1 in 14 jobs in this country is aviation. We're a huge backbone for the economy. There's no way the vaccine is going to get around the U.S., you know, to all those people that need it, unless you have airplanes flying. And to have those flying, you need pilots, you need, you know, ramp people loading up that cargo, you need flight attendants to fly those around. So if we just keep the aviation industry underneath, you know, we're going to bottom out at the end of the year, and we might not see the vaccine production going as fast as it can when we could be helping people.
It just seems very short-sighted. But, you know, I understand you guys were out in the streets today, you know, out in front of senators' offices in Chicago and Los Angeles and places across the country. What kind of response did you get in talking to people when you were out in the street?
You know, we have a great response. Everybody really wants this to push forward. And that's the overwhelming thing, is there's so much bipartisan, both sides of the aisle really want this to happen. You know, this benefits all the people out there, not even just aviation. It'll help everybody go see their families, whatever they need. So everybody really supports it. You know, we had a lot of news people coming out. because we really want to just push, you know, the message, because it, you know, as it seems, we've been forgotten and we need to keep it in the forefront on the news every single day. We are not giving up and it's not too late to help us. We need it to pass now. There will come a time, you know, when it is too late. Rent was due today. People are already losing their homes and you can't go back from that. So we're really pushing for it to be now. And everybody has huge support for this.
Yeah. And not, you know, not only just your industry, I've been arguing for the kind of package that, that your union leadership was able to make sure Congress got for you guys. I was arguing we should be doing that for the entire economy. If you were, you should not be laid off and sent into the cold. You should be still, other countries do this well. We just don't seem to do it because we don't have the political will. And I argue that, you know, the working class of this country wants it. They should demand it. And we should have a political system that that at least moves us towards that. And I think there's an opportunity maybe in the next administration, not right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have huge hope come January. You know, we have the union is really the big push. You said it exactly right. We wouldn't be here without our union. They're the reason we got this clean bill passed in the first place. It's not a bailout. It's not a handout. You know, no money is going to executives. Nobody's getting huge bonus checks. Nobody's doing stock buybacks. It is literally going to my paycheck to make sure I have health care and hundreds of thousands of other people that were laid off or they don't even get as many hours anymore. You see Sarah Nelson out there every single day pushing for us. You know, she's working 80-hour weeks. She's got a family at home. We would not be here without any of the unions in this country. And we're really hoping that, that we, they all come together and we can really push to have this go forward because it's going to help everybody. We support, you know, all the extra, you know, unemployment benefits and all that stuff to help us all. So we really want all this to go through as soon as possible.
Now, I'm sure you've talked to your coworkers and I'm sure there's struggle all across. I'm curious, Amanda, how is your family handling this? Because, you know, this is something I'm sure you nobody ever plans for. How are you handling it?
Yeah, you can't plan for it. And that's why, sadly, you know, we're, every day we're depleting our 401k we're saving for. You know, we're having to take out second mortgages on the house. I know people that are using their kids' college tuition. I personally, you know, I have to choose heat bill. Do I pay my rent? Do I feed myself three meals a day? Because you can't really do all of them at one point. So sadly, you know, with even rent due today, a lot of people aren't able to pay it and they're going to get evicted because there's no more protections like we had in that March bill. It ran out in September. So people are getting evicted today. And sadly, you know, I could be very close. Like I said, you can't go back. Each day that passes is a day too late. So there's still time to help us, but for some it's really hard right now. So even getting out there and getting a job, you know, everybody that's out there right now trying to find a job knows how really hard it is. So,
no,
you know,
I mean,
we're going to do as best as we can, and we're facing another holiday without a paycheck coming up, you know?
And that's the worst part of this. I mean, this is kind of like a massive slap in the face. And look, at the end of the day, I blame Mitch McConnell for all of this because they could have passed another stimulus bill back in May. They could have done it in June, could have done it in July, could have done it in August or September or October. They could have done it in November, and they still have chosen not to. There's some talk now in December of possibly moving something, but I'm still not hopeful that that's going to pass.
Yeah, and you know, crazy enough, just a couple weeks ago, he came out and said, by the end of the year, we're going to have a stimulus bill. He really wants to pass something. Today, they put out the rescue and relief bill on the Senate floor, and it was turned down almost immediately by him. And he came back with, you know, no extra unemployment for people and so many things that aren't going to help us. So it's just another slap in the face today, another whiplash of us getting hopeful, and then all of a sudden getting slammed down without, you know, a future of helping us. So we're just hoping every single day that something will come up and they will realize real Americans are getting hurt and they need to do something and put their pride aside, the politics aside, and they really need to help us.
Yeah, no, I was reading through what the plan that they put out that Mitch McConnell himself rejected. And in there, again, is McConnell's wish list item of employer immunity. The fact if the employer doesn't provide a safe workplace, you have no recourse against them. And I, talking to someone like you who has to deal with the public, has to deal with people who won't wear masks, has to deal with areas that you don't completely control. What do you think would happen if there was no responsibility by the employer to keep you safe and to get you the proper protection that you need? What do you think would happen in an industry like yours?
You know, we're thankful. It's not mandated in the country right now, as we know. So a lot of places aren't requiring masks. And thankfully, my employer has taken it into their hands to make sure that doesn't happen. So we are protected. You know, we're actually really safe. The Department of Defense did a huge study. If I wear my mask and you wear your mask on an airplane with the filtration we have, it's actually safer than eating inside a restaurant. So we're very thankful that we're so protected. But if something like that went through where there is no liability protection, you know, industries that aren't doing this and companies that aren't like looking out for their employers are not going to be held liable. Places that weren't smart, you know, didn't tell their employees to wear masks and their patrons, they get sick, they die, their families get nothing in the middle of a pandemic. You know, that's not something that can go forward. And it's really sad that people try and push that and look out for their buddies, you know, that are CEOs and whatnot, that really just don't want to help us. They're looking out for their own bottom dollar.
Now, it's great to hear that your employer is one of them who is mandating. And, you know, my first thought was, is it because they wanted to do that or because your union leadership demanded it and they negotiated over it and that's where it came out. But, you know, sadly, too many workers don't have employers who are going to have their backs like that. And it's good to hear that someone does.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a good mix of the two is, they really want their employees to be healthy because we can't show up and fly if we're sick, you know, so we want everybody to be healthy. And the union absolutely just advocates for us every single day to make sure we're safe. You know, we don't have the vented masks on planes, you know, everybody has to wear the mask and we're cutting down eating time so people don't have them off as much. So we're very lucky that they're looking out for us. So we're very lucky that the union on the other side is making sure that's upheld. And every single day there's more regulations coming out to help us when we get new information.
Yeah, and now the important thing for folks to remember is the reason I think you guys have done so well during this to this point is because the airline industry is like 80% unionized, where virtually every worker in the industry has a voice on the job and some say in the conditions, which is why I think a big reason why I think you guys have gotten what you've gotten to this point. What we're having right now is not the company's fault. It is Mitch McConnell and the Republican leadership in the Senate who haven't moved forward on this legislation. So let me ask you, because what they've put out today, wholly unacceptable to me on every level. And I know the argument, Rick, there are people out there who are struggling. Even the little bit that they're offering is better than nothing. And while I may agree with that, I can't let them off the hook. We have got to be pushing much harder to get a much more comprehensive, much better package without all of the sweetheart things that McConnell and other Republicans want. Like, for instance, and to me, one of the biggest slaps in the faces, in the proposal that they put forth today, they want to go back to 100% deductions for businesses to go out to restaurants, 100% entertainment budget. Because they think somehow that's a good thing during a global pandemic at its height, which is insane to me.
Yeah, I mean, we really can't, you know, say anything because we want everybody to have a job right now. And it's hard all around. We just have to kind of bring together everybody and all the industries because anything that passes will help the restaurants out there. And, you know, he keeps trying to cut down this PPP that helps the small businesses with their payroll protection so they can stay closed and safe at the same time. So he just keeps cutting it down all over, making it really hard for these small places, all these servers and workers in the restaurant industry. So, I mean, I agree, you know, all the things that were put forward were completely unacceptable. And it's very sad that he's gambling with lives and livelihoods like this and thinks it's okay to come back with, you know, no responsibility to the companies, no extra unemployment, no rent moratorium, anything like that.
So what should we be doing? I mean, you know, clearly today's proposal, unacceptable. What should folks be doing? What's the marching order?
Yeah, every single day, you know, even just getting tweets out there, tweeting your senators, your representatives is huge. You know, flooding their phone lines is what they have told us is the most beneficial to them because it lets them know their constituents really support this. So calling your representatives and both your senators every single day saying, I'm a constituent. I support airline relief. I support COVID relief, you know, rent relief. I need you to support that on the floor when it comes up and push for it really hard. Talk is cheap and action is really what's going to help Americans out there. So doing that every single day helps us. It helps everybody out there that's struggling by pushing it forward to your elected representatives to really have them support this.
Early, often, call twice a day, sit down, write out a letter, send it via the mail. All of those points of contact are a good thing. Amanda, I appreciate the time. I wish you guys nothing but the best. I hope that you'll come back and share some thoughts on this as it continues down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having us, pushing our agenda forward, Rick.
Terrific. Thank you so much, Amanda. I appreciate it. Amanda Steinbrunn, she's a furloughed United Flight Attendant, member of the Association of Flight Attendants, AFA-CWA. Look, you know, this goes back to what we've been talking about for quite some time. And that is, look, at the end of this, Mitch McConnell is responsible for nothing getting done. And I've been talking about this for quite some time for a while. If we do not hold them accountable, if we do not contact them early and often, if we don't do the things that need to be done, nothing's going to get done. And folks like Amanda and her coworkers and all those people that we called frontline heroes and all of those people that we put up on the pedestal, they're going to continue to struggle. And the fact that, you know, in this day and age, in the wealthiest country in the world, at its wealthiest moment in time, we're letting people go hungry. We're making people choose between paying their rent and buying food or food and medicine. We can do better. But this comes down to pure politics. And as I said, you know, the other day, the sad reality is this, again, all comes to Mitch McConnell. And I truly believe that had Mitch McConnell passed something in May, like the Democrats did, in June, in July, August, September, even October, had they passed something before the election, Donald Trump would have been reelected without question. Because they'd have gotten something with his giant name written on it. He could even put a picture of himself on it. And do you think with as close as the elections would have been, do you think that would have put him over the top? Because I do. And this, again, is one of those frustrating moments where one guy is responsible for harming potentially millions. We've got millions more, 7 million more people in poverty because of this pandemic and the fact that they have done nothing to help them. And like I said, you know, Steve Mnuchin thought $1,200 was going to last 10 weeks. I don't know in what alternative universe he thought that was going to happen, but it's crazy. Love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break, right back.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.